Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hello once again, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and I want to welcome you once again to our program, Returning to Our Roots. We are talking about the works of Abraham, and in the last program, we discussed how that initially Abraham is, while he's making disciples, he is presenting himself as a living sacrifice. He is required to leave everything behind. He's required to leave his country, his surroundings, those things that he's familiar with, those things that perhaps he even loved to some degree. He's told to leave his family, his kinsmen, obviously those he would love, and even his father's house. And because we argue that had he stayed, he would not have been able to fulfill his purpose as God had determined it. And so as the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians 3:29, you and I are called, according to what Messiah said, to do the works of Abraham, to follow in that example, which then means that we too are going to be called to leave country, family, father's house, not necessarily physically, but we're going to be called to leave those things that would keep us from being what He has called us to be, to love Him with all of our heart rather than loving all these other things with all of our heart. And at the close of the last program, we read some scripture in Luke where the Messiah links Lot's wife to seeking to save one's life. In fact, let me go back and read that again. It's found in Luke chapter 17. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. And so that Yeshua links Lot's wife to this admonishment not to seek to save your own life seems to say to me that it is possible, and we brought this out in the last program, it is possible to come out of a situation, country, family, father's house, physically, and never leave it because you've left your heart there. That's what has your heart. And because Sodom had Lot's wife's heart, she died, she perished. And so how does he saying that, you look, you know, whatever your heart is in, that's what you're going to be devoted to, regardless of where you are geographically. Wherever your heart is and what it's devoted to, if you are trying to keep hold of things and retain power and authority and do your thing in your way, well, guess what? Eventually, you're going to lose your life, even when you think it's an attempt to save your life. So what we see out of Lot and his family, besides Lot's wife, I mean, when they go into the cave, you remember the story how Lot's daughters got him drunk because they thought it was the end of the world, and there's nobody left, and so they took matters into their own hands because apparently that was what was in their heart. We've got to preserve life. And so what was the result of that? It was an incestuous relationship, and the result being Ammon and Moab, who are later going to rise up and be a constant thorn in the flesh to Israel. So my point is that you can, on the outside, appear to be coming out of those things that God has called you to come out of, but you can leave your heart there. And if that's what has your heart, it's only a matter of time before you end up there physically again. And so you're seeking to save your life, so to speak. You're devoting yourself to what you think will work and what you think is best. And in the end, you lose your life. Now, to put that in a modern context, just an example, there are a lot of people who are of the opinion that the economy is going to collapse. There's shortages of food, there's going to be shortages of water, there are going to be shortages of this, that, and the other. It's going to be a very chaotic, dangerous time. And by the way, I don't necessarily disagree with that. But here's how some are choosing to respond to it. They are prepping. People are taking survival training. And they're moving off the grid. They're trying to get off the grid. They're trying to live beneath the radar, and they're trying to kind of seclude themselves. And I need to kind of navigate this very carefully because I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I believe it's prudent to take steps to make sure that you have those things that you need, and particularly if you need to take care of a wife and children or grandchildren, what have you. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it crosses the line, as far as I'm concerned, is when we think that it's within our power to save our lives. It's crossing the line when we have a concept and the mindset to survive, because we're not called to be survivors. We're called to be overcomers. So what has this got to do with Lot's wife and our topic today? Well, I can come out of something physically. I can come out of a system, a way of thinking, but guess what? I can bring that way of thinking with me. In other words, my heart is still in that way of thinking. And I can take matters into my own hands, and I can store up my wheat and my water and my shotgun shells in an effort to survive. Because I'm still thinking that to survive, I have to take matters into my own hands and I have to do it the way I've always been familiar with doing it. And sometimes that's not the way to do it. So again, in this particular example, and it's just one example of how we seek to save our lives, we're not called to survive. We're called to serve. We're not called to survive. We're called to overcome. Here's another thing that occurs to me. You know, there's a lot of people who will mock others who believe in a pre-trib rapture or even a mid-trib rapture. And I'm not here to talk about the pros and cons of mid-trib, pre-trib, post-trib. That's not the point. The point is that some of the people who will mock a belief in a pre-trib rapture are right now trying to get off the grid and trying to find a way to survive. What's the provocation? Well, I got to do something. I don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't want to be found lacking in this time of trouble that's coming upon. So I'm going to take matters into my own hands so that I can survive. I would suggest to you that that is a similar mindset of those who feel like, well, before anything bad happens, I'm just going to get taken out of here. Here's my point. God called Abram to come out from a culture that would have prevented him from being what God called him to be. But he didn't call him out just physically. He called him to come out of it mentally and spiritually. And why? To fulfill a purpose. Not to hide away, not to be set apart in the sense that he had no interaction with anybody, but to live a set-apart life so that he could be a source of blessing to others. Abraham was called to lose his life. That is to deny himself, deny his will, deny his inclinations, deny that, that impulse to do what he had to do in order for his family to survive. He had to die to all of that. Why? So that he could serve. So that he could be a source of blessing. Because he's the master, we're the servant. We do what he says, when he says, how he says, because we present ourselves as that living sacrifice. And so if I boil all this down, here's what I'm trying to say. When I determine that I am going to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is my reasonable service, and I am going to do the works of Abraham, then I am going to have to trust that what God calls me out of and the circumstances that God allows to arise, that God will give me what I need, when I need it, how I need it, so that I can fulfill His purpose. Which would also tell me then that the safest place to be is exactly where God wants us to be. And sometimes that means I can be in Goshen in the midst of Egypt, when Egypt as a nation is being rocked to its very foundation because of all these plagues being poured out. Because if I'm going to present myself as a living sacrifice, then really it doesn't matter what happens to me outside of the fact what needs to happen through me needs to be His will. Sometimes that means that we can be in the middle of chaos. But the Father is still working in us and through us because we're here to serve, not to survive. And so the works of Abraham is that we are going to do whatever God calls us to do, however He calls us to do it, when He calls us to do it, because we're on a walk of faith. Abraham started out and didn't even know where he was going exactly. But he was walking because he trusted God. And by the way, God didn't call him out of an idolatrous land to come out and live somewhere set apart from everybody else. God took him to Canaan, which at that time was inhabited by idolaters and pagans, even to some degree, worse than what he had left. So why did God do that? Because he was to be a source of blessing to all nations. As a matter of fact, he's living with idolaters and yet still living a set apart life. He's set apart in mindset and in deed from the rest of the world. And so the essence of the command to die to ourselves, and I guess this was the point I was trying to make, is to die to those things that make us feel safe and secure. Those things that make us feel comfortable. Those things that make us feel like, okay, I'm doing what I need to do. Well, we have to die to those things that make us feel safe. We have to die to the inclination to seek to save our own life, because in the end, we lose it. But if we have the mindset and a heart that says, for His sake, I'm going to give up my life, well, that's how we find life. And guess what? Consequently, that's how others have the opportunity to find life through us. So we are not to take matters into our own hands. We are not to lean unto our own understanding if we're going to do the works of Abraham. When Abraham was told to leave your country, he was told to leave that country in more than just a physical way. Because again, as we see in Lot's wife, you can leave something physically, but not leave it. She looked back. Her heart was there. As far as we know, and it seems obvious, Abraham never looked back because he didn't just leave Ur in a physical sense. He left it mentally and he left it spiritually. He left everything behind. And so you and I are called to do the very same thing. That is to say that our hearts must be ready to obey, to do whatever the Father expects us to do, because our loyalty is to be to Him, not to ourselves. Our trust is to be placed in Him, not in what we can do. And so leaving what makes you feel secure is a demonstration of your trust and your devotion. Now let me go back to something I said earlier, and I want to make sure that everybody's clear on this. Is it wrong for me to have a store of food or water or different things, the basic necessities of life? No, I think that's common sense. I think everyone should do that. But to put our trust in those things, to put our confidence in what we can do with our own hands, that's the danger. So I hope you understand my point. Now, when Abraham is told to leave his family, he's being required to leave those that he was at that time closest to. However, I think most people would understand what I say here. That doesn't mean that those that you are physically closest to are the ones you need to be closest to. Because sometimes those that you are closest to physically can be, in terms of spiritual things, an enemy, an adversary. So again, the closer relations physically aren't necessarily the ones that are closer spiritually speaking. And so it goes back to a thought I had earlier, that if he had stayed in Ur, if he'd stayed with his family, if he'd stayed in his father's house, then it seems that their influence, what they did, what they thought, could have had a very detrimental impact upon Abraham, whereby he may not fulfill God's purpose for him. And that's why God had to call him to leave that behind. Because again, it goes back to the idea of culture identifying us. Well, family can sometimes identify us. Family environment, family way of thinking, things that we do, habits, traits, that can affect us. Sometimes good, sometimes positively, but sometimes in the other way. And so if someone's going to follow God and they're coming from a family that is living a lifestyle that's the antithesis of what Scripture says, sometimes it becomes necessary to leave that thing behind, leave that influence behind. It's not fun. It's not something that we would encourage necessarily. Only God can make that determination. And so he calls Abram to leave his family. Because once again, had he stayed there, apparently, there would have been an influence that would have kept him from doing what God had called him to do. He even told him to leave your father's house. Now, I ponder this for a long time and try to reconcile what God was telling him to do where his father's house is concerned with the commandment that we are to honor our father and our mother. Excuse me. So we have to consider the possibility that Terah's spiritual condition could have been a very detrimental influence on Abraham. We can't know for certain, but I think it's something that is logical to assume, seeing that God calls Abraham to leave his father's house. Again, tradition says that Terah was an idol maker. It's not in the Bible, it's just a tradition, but we do see God says, leave your father's house. So now, I want to bring Yeshua's words into this in consideration that he's been told to leave his family, leave his father's house, leave those that spawned him, leave those that he's grown up with, those that he's loved, those who've contributed to who and what he was, etc. Here's what Yeshua says in regard to family. Chapter 12 of Matthew, he says, "Well, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.' But he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" So then, according to the words of the Messiah, physical relationships do not determine exclusively who our family is. Now, let me make sure everybody understands what I'm saying. I am not saying that you have to break off relationships with all of your family. Not saying that at all. I'm just saying that Abraham was told to leave all of those things behind that would keep him from being what God called him to be. And underscoring that is Yeshua's words that in his eyes, whoever is following our Father in heaven, whoever is obeying our Father in heaven, that's who my family is. Might it be those who are a physical relationship? Absolutely, and hopefully so. But might it be those who I'm not physically related to? Absolutely. You know, I'm Caucasian. But I have many brothers that who are black, Latino, Asian, and we don't have the same mother, but we have the same father. And that was his point. So my family is determined in God's eyes, not by who birthed me, not by who fathered me, not who my physical brother is or my literal sister, but my family is determined by who is walking in accordance with God's word. And so the works of Abraham introduce this concept to us that as the seed of Abraham, we are called to walk in this way, acknowledging that our physical relationships, and it doesn't have to be limited to our family, by the way. It can be lifelong friends. It can be those that we've just grown up with and we've always been associated with. There comes a point in time, ladies and gentlemen, that we may find that in following God, we have to leave them behind. Because as this path that we are on narrows and gets more difficult and gets more troublesome, it has a tendency of weeding out those people who do not want to go all the way. And we have to make a decision. Are we going to follow them, or are we going to follow God? So Abraham is called to leave them behind. That does not mean, however, that in doing so, he dishonored them. As a matter of fact, I would argue that he honors Terah by following God. Sometimes we have situations where people grow up in families, their father and mother weren't honorable in terms of how God sees honor and nobility. And we, as a believer, have to break off that association to some degree. But that doesn't mean we dishonor them by doing that. That means, as a matter of fact, we honor them by following God, whether they realize it or not. Now, why is Abraham being called to do all this? Why is God making such demands of him and setting the bar really high? It's not so that he can come out of Ur and one group of idolaters just to go live in Canaan among another group of idolaters. No. It was so that he could live and walk a set-apart life, but that he could fulfill his purpose, and that is to be a source of blessing to all those people. And time and again, we see that when God calls upon him to do things, he responds very quickly because he seems very committed to obedience so that the purpose of being a blessing to all nations might be fulfilled. The promise that's given him motivates him. He seems to be focused, and he stays focused. Now, once again, he's called to be set apart, but that's not the purpose. That's the method and how he is to attain the purpose, because the purpose is to be a blessing to all. And so when I purpose to be a living sacrifice, it's not just for my benefit. It's actually so that others might benefit. Because as a people, we are called to be a light to the nations. Let me read to you from Exodus 19. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." And so they're called to be a holy or set apart nation, but not to be set apart for the sake of being set apart. They're called to be set apart to walk a set apart life that they might be a light to all the other nations. Let's read what Messiah has to say about this in Matthew 5. "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," I would interject here the words, works of Abraham, "and glorify your Father in heaven." And so that set apart life is not to say we segregate ourselves from everybody. No, we live differently than everyone, so that we can be a light to everyone. Abraham was called to leave certain situations and circumstances so that he could lead others out of those situations and circumstances. And he stayed focused on what the Father had set before him, and so he teaches us to stay focused on what the Father has set before us. And I want to read to you from Hebrews 11, some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, beginning in verse 8, it says this: "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And so, though he was looking for this city whose builder and maker is God, we could say that he never really saw it, not in a literal, tangible sense, but he saw it. He believed it. He stayed focused on that purpose. And so, in the last couple of minutes that we have here today, here's what we want to emphasize. In following in the footsteps of Abraham, because again, as Abraham's seed, according to Galatians 3:29, And according to what Messiah said, we are Abraham's seed when we are in Messiah and when we are keeping the works of Abraham, doing what Abraham did. What did he do? He left anything and everything to fulfill God's purpose in his life. Because all those things he had to come out of and abandon would have kept him from fulfilling the purpose, which was to be a light to the nations, to be a light to those in darkness, to lead them out of those things that keep us in darkness, to be a source of blessing to all nations, not a source of contempt and disgust and disdain. And so that's why he had to leave, and that's why we have to lead a set apart life. Because how else would those in darkness know what light is unless we're living in that light? So you, as the seed of Abraham, we are called to follow this example. And in the next week's program, we're going to continue looking at Abraham's life as it unfolds. Till then, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.